You. All right, good. Cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, one more time, if you could put your hands together, RJ Deera.
Check, check. All right, you can hear me now. I sincerely apologize if I cough or start sniffling. It's been a tough illness that I haven't gotten over yet, but we'll see how it goes. But I don't know, these past few years, I've just been noticing that I've been teaching after all the skits are done. And then some of you are like, so what? Well, who cares? Well, first of all, I care. And well, it's just a constant reminder that I went to camp for 7 years and never won a skit. So congratulations, high school boys, for winning this skit once again. If you could all turn your Bibles into Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 18 through 24. And before we read that, let's all pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love that you continue to give us that we don't deserve. Thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Please help us just to recognize who you are and your glory, and that you are the God that rules over all of us. May we just surrender our lives over to you. Thank you for being our God. And let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, as you probably read in your booklet, I'm going to be teaching on Joseph. But you might be saying, Reuben already talked about Joseph. Well, I don't know about you guys, but people can have the same name. I have three people in my mind that have the same name. There's Table Josh, who got unfortunately flipped over. And then there was Russian Josh, who betrayed his scientist friend. And lastly, and always dear to my heart, my little big brother Josh. And so today, this Joseph is the stepfather of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's one of the unsung heroes that we have, because there's not really a lot of scripture we have on him, but yet we can see through his character how amazing he is, how he breaks the mold. And physically, Joseph is a descendant of David. And so if Jesus were actually related to Joseph, he would still be a descendant of David. And so the last time we hear about Joseph is when he actually left Jesus alone, home alone style. And that was back in Luke 2, verses 41 through 50. And the reason why that's the last time we see him is because he was probably dead by the time Jesus started his 3-year ministry that led to the cross. So then let's read about him. We're going to read this whole passage through, and then we're gonna go back and look over the voice verses again. So if you guys could do me a favor, can you, when I read one verse, can you read the next verse after that? So if I read 18, y'all read 19. And when I read 20, y'all can read 21. Could y'all do that for me, please? So, in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Verse 19. "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Y'all need... Oh, okay. I apologize. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. All right, there's lots of good stuff to unpack from here. So there's three things we can learn from what Joseph did here. The first thing he did that we can see is that he was kind, especially when somebody sinned against him. Secondly, he was a listener to God's messages. And thirdly, he obeyed God immediately. Let me repeat that real quick. The first thing that he did was be kind, especially when somebody sinned against him. The next was he was a listener to God's messages. And third, he obeyed God immediately. So now, rereading verse 18, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And so here we have amazing stuff. We have the Holy Spirit impregnating a Virgin Mary with Jesus. And there can just be an entire study that we could do, but we're here to study more on Joseph's character. But nonetheless, I would encourage you guys to study about the importance of the virgin birth and the completely confusing, but the truth that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. So at this point of the story in Matthew, we don't know how many people know Mary is pregnant, but reading future verses, we can see that people actually do know about Mary's unusual birth. In Mark 6:3, Jesus is preaching in his hometown in Nazareth, but they didn't really like that Jesus was there preaching to them. And so this is their reaction. Mark 6:3, it says, Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. So you might be asking where the evidence is. Well, if you look closely, it says Jesus is called the son of Mary. And if you knew Jewish culture back then, that's a very severe insult, because genealogies are so important to Jewish culture. They would know who their fathers is. They would know what tribe of Judah, what tribe they come from. And so we've already seen in the Old Testament various people that have their name and then their name followed by their father. Example is Isaac, son of Abraham, Jonah, son of Amittai, David, son of Jesse. And so when they say Jesus, son of Mary, they're basically saying, isn't this Jesus the guy that they don't even know who his dad is? And so here's another evidence of people knowing of the unusual birth that Jesus had. In John 8:41, it starts as this. Jesus says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered, the Jews, and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. So Jesus is telling truth. But then they just, these guys respond with the fact that Jesus was, they suppose that Jesus was born of fornication. And isn't that ironic that they would say that Jesus was born of fornication when we all know that God's true father is God the Father? I mean, Jesus' true father is God himself. And so we have to recognize that Jesus is God, 100% God and 100% man. So then we move on to verse 19. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And so here, in this verse, we finally get a first glimpse of Joseph's character, and that he really loves Mary, that he wouldn't publicly disgrace her. Because from Joseph's point of view, he's well within his rights to divorce his wife, because this is basic biology. You need a man and a woman to create a child. And so how can Joseph believe that Mary was pregnant with child when there was no... How can Joseph believe that Mary was pregnant with a child without another man? And so we could see that Joseph was really kind, that instead of following his first reaction to divorcing his wife, because instead of following his first reaction of hatred and anger, he decides to just put Mary away quietly. In the old Jewish laws, if somebody commits adultery, you are well within the rights to stone them to death. And so in Jewish tradition, betrothals, when you, in modern times, we know that you can propose to somebody and you would recognize them as fiance and they were soon to be married. But in the eyes of Jewish culture, even though if they haven't had their marriage yet, they would still be seen as husband and wife. And so Joseph has to, if Mary had committed adultery, like, Joseph was well in his rights to divorce her. And so this teaches us that we shouldn't follow our first instinct to hate. We should be choosing to love and be kind, especially when we're hurt. And Joseph shows us that... I apologize. Joseph shows that his love for Mary by putting her away quietly. And so, if we continue on in verse 20, it says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done in that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So in verse 20, we can see that Joseph was in a position to listen to God. Joseph chooses the harder path of putting Mary away quietly. And so God, recognizing that Joseph is a kind man, recognizing that Joseph still loves Mary, just sends an angel of the Lord to tell him the truth that he doesn't need to divorce Mary and that he could still love Mary without feeling heartbroken. And this is just a story for us, and that in our moments of trial, that we should be willing to listen to what God speaks to us. That we should take the moment to study God's word, to be in moments of prayer. And ultimately, God will tell us through his word what his desire for it, what his desires for our life is. Raise your hand if you want to know what the will of God for your life is. Excellent. Nearly all of you. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through 8, it says this: "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor, and not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." And so here it's spelled out for us that as we're living this life, we should be pursuing sexual purity, that we should preserve our bodies in sanctification and honor. And so if we're talking about breaking the mold and overcoming peer pressure, there's one thing I would gladly declare, is that I'm a 25-year-old virgin who hasn't dated or kissed a girl. Now, my cool factor might have gone down a bit for some of you guys, but why should that matter? I'm following the will of God, and he asks us that we should pursue righteousness. We should pursue holiness and purity. And so you're in a important time of your life where you have to make several decisions on what you have to do later in life, whether it's to get a job, whether it's to continue in ministry. And so you have to seek God in everything that you do, in prayer and in his word. And you can ask God for signs as well, because even though God doesn't speak to us like in the Old Testament where it's obvious that it's his voice, we have to ask God for signs at times. And so there's this story I remember where I was planning to go to Mexico for 2.5 months. And I was asking God if I should go. And one of the signs I asked is that if he lowered the price of plane tickets in the next 2 weeks, then maybe that's the sign that I should go to Mexico. And lo and behold, I waited I didn't even wait 2 weeks. I just had to wait for a day. And the ticket prices were lowered. And so as you're living this life, just be willing to put yourself in a position where you could be able to hear God's word. If you're in sin, you're more than likely not going to hear God's word, because it's like jumping into mud and expecting to smell good things, because that mud is blocking the smells of the good things. So if you're in sin, quickly repent so that your ears may be open to hearing what God has to say to you. Because ultimately, as we've said before, As several teachers have already said this, God's plan is greater than we could, than any other plans that we could come up with. And so we come to our last verse. It says this: Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And this is pretty straightforward. Joseph was in a position, hearing what God's messengers had to say, and then he must have fallen asleep during his time listening to the angel. And so once he was aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And so he married Mary right away. And so this is what we need to recognize, that God's plans are always greater, that we should continually follow God. And so if you guys could, let's all turn to Jonah. And so if you know the story of Jonah, you already know that, you might know that he was swallowed by a great big whale. So let's just reread why he had to go, why he ended up being in that great whale. In verse 1, it says, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But then Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so here we see that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. But yet, instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah went the opposite way, trying to flee from the command of the Lord. And as we know, Jonah gets caught up in a storm. His ship gets caught up in a storm. And to stop the storm, Jonah suggests that they toss him out of the boat. And so he gets swallowed by a whale, and he ends up having to do what he was trying not to do anyway. And so why we have to obey God is because he knows what he's doing, and he knows what's best for us. So if we try to refuse God's command, he'll either try to get us to do it or find somebody else who will. And that's what we've seen in our Devo this morning with Deborah. Barak was already told by God to go and fight Sisera and his army, but he was too scared. And so he has to have Deborah by his side. And because he didn't obey God immediately, he doesn't get the glory that he could have gotten. But with the story of Joseph, we can see that he raised Jesus up. He married Mary. And showed kindness despite the strange situation that is going on. And so this is important for all of us to learn, in that we need to follow what God has planned for all of us, that we shouldn't look to other things. and that we should spend time in God's word, knowing that He will guide us in all our paths. So in this story, we've learned that Joseph was kind to someone that sinned against him. He listened to God's messages and he obeyed God immediately. And so if we can apply this to our lives, trying to break the pressures of this world, let us not look to this world for satisfaction. Even though if the world is dark, may we always turn our eyes to God. There's so much troubles that you guys are up against with. Some people can easily change their gender nowadays. And actually, today is actually Pride Month. And so what we have to recognize is that the Bible is absolute in all things, and that God created us, man and female, and we shouldn't let the world define who we are. We should let the Word of God build our life. We should give ourselves over to God, surrendering everything over to Him. Not surrendering to our friends at school, surrender. Let's all give ourselves over to God and not look to what the trends are. Because I know for me, I tend to play too much video games. And I tend to not focus on God immediately. And so our identity has to be grounded in Christ. We have to never succumb to peer pressure. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love that you continue to give us. Thank you for being our God. Thank you that you've showed us the way and that you will never forsake us nor abandon us. Help us to turn our eyes to you. Help us not to be pressured by what our friends are doing. Help us just to know that you are in control of all things and that we should never surrender and to the world and to only look to you and you alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow, check one. In case you didn't notice, RJ's been pushing through despite feeling ill. And he wasn't going to give in. He said, I'm going to push through. So thank you, RJ, for pushing through, man. God bless you, man, for hanging tough, bro. Give it up for RJ. I mean, that's tough. Really. God bless you, man. All right, so at this point in time, right after this, 2:15, we're going to have baptism.